Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker, in for Sasha Pfeiffer. For educators throughout the country, the Newtown, Connecticut school massacre has left its mark. The one-year anniversary tomorrow finds some educators reflecting on school security, mental health, and how school tragedies like Newtown affect them and the children under their care. To talk about this, we reached out to longtime educators in Massachusetts, and some of them are joining us in the studio. Karen Spaulding is the principal of Pierce Middle School in Milton. She's been an educator for 23 years, including 17 years as a middle school math and science teacher. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And Tina Sosnowski, she's been a first grade teacher for 20 years. She works at the Francis Wyman Elementary School in Burlington. Tina, welcome.
Thank you.
And Tim McDonald is a principal of the Hollis Elementary School in Braintree. He's held that post for 10 years, and he was an elementary school teacher for several years before that. Hello, Tim.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Now, Tina, you are a first grade teacher, so this obviously had special significance to you because you are familiar with this age group, and so many first graders were killed in Newtown. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, you know, what about your response, and how did it change or not change things for you in the classroom?
We met as a first grade team because it affected us so, because those are the children that we work with. And without skipping a heartbeat, we would protect our kids. That's the most important thing. That's our job. And what we have in Burlington is a code blue. And code blue means that there's some danger. We lock the doors, the shades are pulled down. And with young children, how do you present that without causing fear?
Right.
Because we talked to the children in code blue. So we sat down and we thought about, you know, what's close to us is a zoo. What if a lion or a tiger got loose? How could we protect ourselves? We'll shut the window, lock the doors, and we'll be real quiet and turn out the lights. And they seem to understand the fact that, oh, yeah, we couldn't be out there on the playground because if some wild animal was out there, they would get us. I could not bring up the fact that of something like they would be in danger using guns or... although there are children who do come in and know about it.
Did you find that?
Yes.
Most kids or very few?
No, very few.
I'm also wondering if any of you have had any sort of professional training, or have there been, you know, any kind of programs since Newtown that have taught you to do something differently or taught the district or anything like that? Tim?
Every day, a police officer stops by each elementary school and walks a school, which is a little bit different.
That's new since Newtown?
It's new since Newtown. And it was a little different at first, having the police officer walking around the school. But now it's second nature. The kids get to know who the police officer is. They might wave and say hello.
Karen?
The doors to the schools were not always locked. They now are always locked. In my building, we have a two-buzzer system. So you get buzzed into the first sort of little lobby area, and then you get buzzed in again into the main office. We have a large flat-screen TV in the main office that shows multiple vantage points of the front area.
Is there a loss of innocence somewhere?
I think it might be... just a change in innocence, maybe. School is a special place, and it's a sacred place, for lack of a better descriptor. It's a different time now, and it's a different way of doing business. But what we try to ensure has not changed is that school is a place where there are adults who care about you, who are committed, and peers and friends and classmates.
Tina, do you think we lose anything by having buzzers and police officers?
When I first started teaching, safety meant not, you know, going down the slide backwards, not running down the hall.
Right.
And then it all changed. Now we're armed with cell phone, walkie-talkies, the foghorn out at recess, just in case we see anything. Where years ago, you would not even... people came in, people came out. And now it's like everyone has to be buzzed in. And if you do see someone that you don't know, it's always that caution of, like, you know, should they be in the building? Should they not? Do they have their tag on?
We always want our schools to be welcoming. We want folks in our building. We want to build partnerships with community and with parents. And now we have in place, which we didn't have in place before, that if, you know, a parent, for example, comes in for a meeting, they have to show an ID, and we print out a badge and we put it on. So it's on the one hand, you're saying, welcome, come into my building. but I'm going to need to see an ID before you do, kind of thing. So it is kind of this awkward sort of strange dichotomy that we're in with the adults. Yeah.
Do you think that's sad as well?
It's sad.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you find that it's different now when you look at some of the students, identifying students who might be at risk? Does it make you more wary about your students?
Definitely.
How
Definitely.
So? Well, what happens?
I think you're more concerned about their well-being, whether it's a situation at home or at school. What are they bringing to school with them that is going to affect them emotionally or academically? There are families that are going through crisis during the school year, whether it's divorce or some sort of situation, and restraining orders, and you have to make sure that who's ever buzzed into that building belongs there.
I think and I hope that we as educators have always been about trying to connect and build strong relationships with students and really get to know them and identify those who might be more fragile than others. I think it also comes from partnerships with community organizations, with mental health organizations, and that is both to get families potentially services that they might need, but also to keep us sort of up to date on when is it a student who's just sort of going through a rough patch versus someone who might need some more ongoing support.
I'm just wondering, too, if you have an anecdote, post-Newtown anecdote, that you think describes how this tragedy has affected you.
On that Monday, I was walking around the building, and I walked by first and second grade classrooms as they were singing Christmas carols, holiday songs. And it was one of those moments where you kind of just stop in your track, and really the tragedy kind of hit me at that point. When I emailed the parents that day, I told them that, you know, it was great to walk the hallways of our school and listen to the kids singing, because this tragedy occurred 2 weeks before Christmas.
Right.
Fortunately, students' minds were on that, but it kind of hit me as an adult walking around the building and hearing, you know, the innocence of the singing and the excitement, and something I'll never forget.
Gone are the days when we used to open the back doors when a beautiful spring day and let the fresh air in. Now all doors are locked.
I think I've always worried about the safety of students, for example, but it used to be that I would worry that I would lose one on a field trip or that, you know, someone would fall down on the playground. And it's frightening, I shudder to think, but what I worry about now is that someone will be in my building who shouldn't be there and will cause harm to a child. And I lose sleep over that at night.
Karen Spaulding, principal of the Pierce Middle School in Milton, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tim McDonald, principal of Hollis Elementary School in Braintree. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Also, Tina Zasnowski, a first grade teacher at the Francis Wyman Elementary School in Burlington. Thank you.
Thank you so much.